History will tell you a man invented the motor car. That may be true, but history omits a woman who made it work. In 1888, Bertha Benz took her husband's prototype invention and, along with her sons, drove into the unknown. An unknown without roads, fuel stations, or even permission. En route, she invented makeshift brake linings, figured out roadside refueling, independently did the first ever test drive, and single-handedly brought about the future, using a hat pin and a garter. This is the story of a quiet rebel who forced civilization to move forward. Das Beste oder nichts. Blind History is brought to you by Vitruvius Design. Visit them at vitruviusdesign.co.za. Blind History, thank you for joining us and for your support over many seasons of this show. You can, of course, find out more, like and subscribe and get involved with the podcast. We would also love to hear from you if you have any suggestions of people that you think we should be covering. Maybe somebody who slipped through the cracks, although, you know, you could endlessly get involved in the stories from history and still never know enough. My co-host is Anthony Miederer. He is also the CEO of Vitruvius Designs, which is a company which does some incredible stuff when it comes to kitchenware and bathware and taps and all the rest of it. You can find out more by going to their website. All of the links will be included in the podcast below. And just happens also to be the CEO of that company. And as we discovered last week, he also has an 80-20 rule, 80% history and 20% business. Although I don't know how true that is because he started and successfully sold and managed, about 5 or 6 companies already. So the guy knows what he's doing. And when it comes to this episode, he also knows what he's doing. He suggested this person who I am embarrassed to admit I didn't even know the name. And Ant found out about this woman from one of your daughter's books.
The author's name is Adam Kay, and I could recommend both on the adult side and on the children's side. He writes incredible books. So in one of his children's books, he's talking about inventions. You know, he talks about the human body and inventions, etc. And he spoke about Bertha Benz and what? And I'd never heard that before. So obviously, I would have, with my German background, I would have hoped I would have known about it, but I hadn't heard the story. So I investigated it, and it's just what an incredible story. And you know, the thing is that I think it seemed like we lived in the dark ages in the 20th century. Let me say, I always get it mixed up. Sorry, are we in the 21st century now?
We're in the 21st now, but I won't blame you because it's always, you hear historians just seem to say 17th century, 18th century. I always have to do the calculation in my head and I have to remove 100 years to know roughly what period we're talking about. Otherwise, I get completely confused. I'm also a little disappointed with your German heritage that you didn't call her Bertha Benz.
Yeah, that's true. But her maiden name was Ringer. So yes. I think she wanted to also get rid of that quite quickly. But Bertha, I think Bertha Benz. Cecilia Bertha Benz.
This woman was born in Karlsruhe in Germany in 1849 and was really, I mean, outstandingly well-educated for a woman at her time. Remember, most girls didn't go to school. They were either in the upper classes, married off, or if they had to work, they did menial labor and, you know, raised children and did stuff around the house and the farm. But this woman was extraordinarily well educated for her time. She was mathematically and mechanically literate to a degree that would surprise most mechanics and engineers today. And she's probably most famous for being married to Carl Benz, but that's not really fair, is it?
Not at all. Not at all. So first and foremost, I think she came from a wealthy family. The father invested heavily in the children's education. All this area is around a very beautiful part of Germany, which is very close to the Black Forest, the Schwarzwald. And they lived, so they had, where they were schooled was in Pforzheim. And she was known in school and in the boarding school to be very ambitious and have an extreme fascination of anything technologically driven, and very bored, I suppose, with the men around her and how she's been courted and that. She couldn't pursue a higher education at the time. That wasn't allowed. So she couldn't go to university. But she did meet this tinkerer, or this machine lover and tinkerer, who was absolutely broke, 5 years a senior, and his name was Carl Benz. And she loved his his energy and everything about his ideas, etc., and what he's trying to do from innovation. And he regaled her with stories of, of combustion engines, etc. So she fell in love with him. But what she did do, and this is what a lot of people don't know, is she invested her dowry. If you just go back a minute, very wealthy family. She obviously had a significant dowry. She invested the dowry, and she was allowed to do that because once you are married, you don't, in German law, you don't have any investing or legal powers anymore. So just prior to the marriage, she invested a dowry with Carl Benz's ailing iron business that he was working on. And so, and this ultimately turned into the Benz and C company. So essentially she was a investor. That was the first thing. And then she was Benz's lover and became his wife.
Well, he was a complicated guy. He was certainly brilliant. There's no doubt that he was an innovator of the highest order. He had a very fast brain, and he was terribly, terribly clever and ambitious. But he was also depressed. He was indecisive. He was timid. He was risk averse. He was constantly running out of money. And so it's almost as if they were destined to be a power couple, because all the things that he didn't have, she seemed to have. I mean, she was decisive and ruthless when necessary. She was calm when everything got chaotic. She was willing to bet the farm, which she did, as you just explained, with her dowry. And she really believed in him, even when he didn't believe in himself.
Correct. And I think, Gareth, I've had a little bit of experience in impact investing and I think that it's 1 out of 1,000 that actually make it, and sometimes you listen to the stories of the inventors or the great ideas, and this is going to make us millions, etc., and you look at it and you think, well, will it really? So it's one in 1,000. I don't know what the statistics are, but it's just very remote that you actually succeed. And so, but with Carl Benz, Bertha was the one that basically kicked him down the road to succeed. I mean, there's so many stories. They had the barn where they were working on this combustion engine, which is really the backbone of the first automobile, and they couldn't get it to work. And she basically said, "Let's go over to the workshop. I think it was New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve 1879. Let's go one more time and let's try it out." And he didn't want to, he's just fed up, and it actually started. And the combustion engine started, and that actually was the start of everything. They got the patent in the next year, and the ball was rolling. So we cannot minimize the impact that she's had.
What an incredible story, because I did sort of know that Carl Benz was a real person, and that he was the forefather and one of the early innovators in the automotive world. But I didn't know anything about her. And now what you're telling me seems to indicate that she was absolutely pivotal to the fact that the company got off the ground, that first car was brought into existence. But she was also the first person ever to do a test drive. So explain to me what happened there.
I suppose it's a very gray presentation. This is what I expect. I mean, look, winter in Germany is very gray. I would believe that Carl Benz was a gray personality, and he had this great idea. They had this combustion engine, which is insane, the first ever patented. but they're going nowhere. So, but we've got this dynamic woman, and she's trying to work out, look, how am I going to get this company moving? So she didn't tell him about this particular journey. So if you can just imagine just that anything that had been done in testing this automobile in those times were done by the mechanic inventors, and they would have a little test, like 50 meters, 100 meters, 20 meters, crash into a wall, crash into a tree, and so nothing was ever done like this. So she said she left him a letter, and she said to him, look, I'm going to visit my mom. And that's true. Her mom lived in Pforzheim, and she, of course, is where she grew up, and she was living at the time in Mannheim. And she was going to visit her, and like she did before, she would catch the train. So she took her two sons, who were teenagers, but she took the car. If you can call it a car, but it was, I think, Model 2 or Model 3. So in other words, it's the third or the second of any automobile ever produced. She's taking it 106-kilometer test drive. And so that's the theory. And she said, what's going to come out of this is an insane marketing drive to get this business up and running. And it's exactly what happened. It was illegal. It was extremely dangerous. So you can imagine they had four-wheel carriages drawn by horses. And so if you think the tracks have got on the left and right are quite smooth where the wheels go, but then in the middle is where the horses trot. And so that is not smooth at all. And she had a three-wheeler automobile she had, and it was and it traveled at 10 miles an hour and 10 kilometers an hour, apologies, and she was traveling 106 kilometers, and the petrol was only what was in the carburetor, so she had to stop for petrol. What petrol? I mean, anybody would be lost. She knew exactly what fuel to get, but she could only get it at a pharmacy. And this is where it's quite interesting, and you can do this today if you found yourself in the area. She stopped in an area called Wiesloch, and it's a pharmacy, or apotheca, as they called it. And she got Ligroin, which is apparently the fuel that they used. She managed to get it, and they're very surprised. She said that it's for her sons, and her went there. They got bottles and bottles of water and some of this fuel, and they used it for cleaning, like strong cleaning in barns and that. And she said, I've got it for my carriage. So they said, be careful of the horses, because it's, you know, this could affect the horses and kill the horses. And so they didn't really know. And they were apparently very dusty, because they'd been pushing this three-wheeler up hills because it wasn't fast enough. And they went to get this fuel, and it became actually the very first fuel station in the world. It was in this area called Wiesloch.
Vitruvius Design is for people who demand more than disposable design. It's for homeowners, architects, and developers who believe quality should last for decades, not seasons. Inspired by classical Roman principles, strength, usefulness, and beauty, Vitruvius curates premium European bathroom and kitchen fittings engineered to endure and designed to age gracefully. Every piece is accredited, rigorously tested, and backed by a 15-year warranty. Explore the collections at vitruviusdesign.co.za or visit the Vitruvius Design showroom in De Waterkant, Cape Town, opening January 2026. You know, it is amazing to think, when she went off on this first ever test drive with her kids, and she took to this 100-odd-kilometer road, something most of us do without a second thought these days, she was doing it at a time there were no roads for cars, as you pointed out. There were no petrol stations. There were no mechanics around to help her. If she broke down, she had to figure it out. And in fact, she did. Quite famously, she used her hat pin, and she used her garter as insulation. Her hat pin she used to clear the fuel pipes when they were clogged. And she managed to climb hills, because of course it's undulating ground as well. There was no autobahn at that point. So she got herself to get up, and they had to push the car up the hills. And you can imagine what local people would have thought. They would have seen this mechanical monstrosity coming along. And I doubt very much that anyone would have thought, wow, that's a very cool luxury sedan. They would have thought there's a witch driving an evil devil motor. And this woman must be insane if she's not a witch.
Exactly, an iron horse or whatever it was. But you know, what she found out on the trip. So first of all, even simple things like the dashboard and how the dashboard and the rear view mirror. But more critical things like the brakes. So what would happen, yeah. So in the Intrepid Carl Benz made wooden brakes. So if you can imagine, it starts rubbing down as you use the brakes. She's only driving 106 Ks. I know maybe that's a long way in those days, but these wooden brakes were getting rubbed down. So she then got leather brake lining, as it would be called today. So she invented the first brake lining to stop the wear. So that was already a significant invention. She also, she said, look, I mean, in the end, this contraption can't work with two gears. We need another gear to get us up the hill. So she'd come up with serious improvements to good old Carl's invention. And then I think in the end, it was a much better much better car for it. They learned so much from that trip. And she got to her mother's, and then her husband wrote a telegram back saying, I'm glad you're safe, da da da, but I need please, can you take the chain off, because I need to put it on a static model for an exhibition that we're having tomorrow. It's urgent. Can you send it down ASAP with a horse? So yeah. And she said, yeah, he's still the same person, still worried about some static model. Meanwhile, this thing's moving, you know. So she was, mentality wise, she was completely different to him.
So you can definitely credit her with the first test drive ever, the first product validation in cars, the first automotive PR stunt, because what happened after this was obviously people had heard all about this incredible journey, and Bertha became famous, Carl became famous, the car became famous. So orders started streaming in, investors came in their droves to take part. And people would gather in the street to meet her, to meet Carl, to see the car. So it was a massive success. And Carl, of course, went on to tremendous personal success. He gained titles and fame and historical credit. But she really didn't get nearly as much credit as he did, right? I mean, she was always in the background. She managed the family. She managed the money. And really never demanded recognition of any kind, even though she deserved a huge proportion of it.
And I think, Gareth, practically, she couldn't put her name on the patent. It was forbidden in German law. So that's the critical. That was where it all started. So even today, you see the records of the patent of the first automobile, and Carl Benz is indicated on there. And I think later on, Daimler also had some things. But if it wasn't for her, Daimler would have got ahead of them. So maybe there would have been nothing in the world. It's very much, I think of this as very much like Hedy Lamarr, who we covered in one of our blind history episodes as well. From a scientific perspective, she was only recognized posthumously in the 2000s or whatever it is. This is very, very similar, where they're only acknowledging her in 2011, et cetera, for what she's done. I think Mercedes-Benz is trying to really on Women's Day, et cetera, to try to bring it to the fore. But at the time, there was no acknowledgement. Sadly, I think as well, Germany went through a very difficult time. There was massive recession. So it was quite difficult to run this business. These cars were very expensive, and so they still struggled. In the end, they closed the company, and a year later, it was merged with Gottlieb Daimler at the time, and they formed Daimler Benz, which is one of the great motor companies of the world today. And this is how it all started. But then, you know, the Great Depression came, and then the World War arrived. You know, so it's. Mm. The Second World War, sorry. So it was very difficult times to be alive. But she, like you mentioned, she only got recognized much, much later.
She did get to see a world that had been transformed by her and her husband's business and their invention. I mean, she lived to 95, so she died in 1944, just before the Second World War ended. But she'd seen cars become normal. She'd seen roads reshape Europe. She'd seen her decisions impact massively on the whole world. And, you know, she's been called the inventor's wife and lots of other slightly pejorative things. But I think it's clear to anybody now what a massive contribution this woman made. And, you know, the first long distance driver, that record is hers. The first automotive engineer in practice, you mentioned the brake linings and all the rest of it. The first automotive marketer, you know, if you think about car advertising and the enormous business that that is and how these brands are competing for your attention, she was the first one to really advertise cars and market cars. And, you know, quietly, I suppose, working in the background, displaying enormous competence was probably more important than genius, because there were other people who at the same time were playing around with the engine, trying to get it to do things like move people around. And they'd found, you know, better horse carts at that stage. There was, of course, going to be Henry Ford later on. But I suppose it takes a vision. And as much as we must give Carl Benz credit, and maybe he deserves his own episode, I think it's a stunning kind of recalibration of history evaluating people. And we've now got to appreciate this woman and all the things that she did.
Yeah, I cannot agree more. And you know, she, even in her later life, where she was living, let's say they call it a villa. So I think she was okay, but her fortune had dwindled because of what I mentioned about the war and the Great Depression. But it didn't bother her, because she was so accustomed to struggling, Gareth. You know, the sheriffs came and collected all the stuff out of the workshop just before they got the combustion engine to start. So she really, that didn't worry her at all. And she really wanted to give back to the world. All her books she gave to the people that were struggling. She did see in 1933, I think it was mentioned, she was 84 years old and Hitler was rising to the forefront. And I can attest to the feeling that people had in Germany at the time, that you know, the shackles of Versailles was just, Germany was really down and out. And so they saw this nut job as their savior. But what happened, true to form, Hitler's propaganda machines jumped on this. And I think if you see a lot of footage from that time, all the Mercedes Benzes that are driving around. And so they really jumped on it. They inaugurated Carl Benz in Mannheim. So they really tried to punt this whole story. But she did later distance herself from Hitler and the Nazi party after she realized their policies were leading to atrocities and to war.
Yeah, I also think that maybe German engineering has, you know, over the years attained a very serious credibility. There are many people who look up to the way that Germans engineer things like cars, and it would be remiss of us to not give credit to the Benz couple for their incredible contribution in this arena. So I'm very happy that I now know a little bit about Bertha Benz, Bertha Benz, thanks to you, Ant.
Yeah, look, me too. I think it's great.
Blind History is brought to you by Vitruvius Design. Visit them at vitruviusdesign.co.za.